off for not putting the microphone on yet, but I'm sure they've heard me anyway. Anyway, let's pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight again, as we approach the throne of grace to open your word, we know that we cannot do this without the Spirit of God who sheds light upon this word. But we ask also that he would shed light upon our minds and our hearts, Lord God, and bring this word, this living and active word, into our souls tonight, Lord, please. We don't want to just hear it. We don't want to just believe it. But we want to act upon it, please. Come, Spirit of God, and speak to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I was speaking with a couple of guys during the week, and I was asking them about their thoughts on the return of Jesus. You know, people go past Shiloh and they see that sign, the return of the man who never came back. And I said, what's them buck idiots on about now? And I was speaking to this couple of young blokes and I said, well, what do you think about Jesus coming back? And they laughed in my face and said, there's more chance of Tupac Shakur coming back than there is Jesus. And then I asked an older person the same question, well, what's your thoughts on the return of Jesus? And they said, well, there's more chance of Elvis Presley coming back than Jesus. Now, for the elderly among us, Tupac Shakur was an American rapper and actor who was shot dead in 1996. And for the younger generation, Elvis Presley was a man who ate burgers. Sorry, no. Elvis Presley was an American singer and actor who died in August 1977. So there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the answer to the big question in life about the return of the man who never came back. There's more chance of Tupac Shakur or Elvis Presley coming back than Jesus. Could someone please turn off the lights and lock the door after we leave? What else have we got to do? We get out there and wait for Tupac or Elvis. We probably see Elvis coming down the Skipperstone Road with Lord Lucan on the back of Shergar. Seriously, this is how the world thinks. They tend to, or rather pretend to believe, that there's more likelihood of a fly-by-night celebrity returning from the dead than Jesus returning for his people. I wonder, what do you tend to, or rather, what do you pretend to believe tonight? We started this series, The Return of the Man Who Never Came Back, because much of the church, the wider church, not Shiloh, much of the wider church seems to have ignored, neglected, or rejected this fundamental truth of the Bible, that Jesus will one day return for his people and also to execute final judgment on unbelievers. In the past 2 weeks, we've looked at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and different passages from that. And I explained that the context is Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and Cyril was, let's burgle the house now, sending photographs through, showing me images of him and others sitting on the Mount of Olives. They're now back home for the purpose of the tape. And for the purpose of burglars, they came home last night, 10 o'clock. But they had sent this photograph when they were on their holidays of them on the Mount of Olives, and I was really jealous. Now, Keith and I had the pleasure of being out on the Mount of Olives some years ago as well. And it's just beautiful to get that panoramic view of Jerusalem and to think that the Bible is clear. When Jesus returns, if you're a person who believes in setting up his kingdom on the earth, then he will return literally and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. And it's incredible to think that you can be standing there. And Cyril was saying to me just before he came back home that he's sitting there waiting. And I says, well, you've wasted your money because he's not coming back until I'm out there. So Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He's just outside the walled city of Jerusalem, answering questions from his disciples about the end of the age and what people would need to look out for. Now, he's not saying here's a wee sign that you'll need to see and here's a wee sign. It's not pointing that way. Saying when it's going to happen, there's a lot of things will be taking place that he's giving you a clue about. In that sense of get ready. So Jesus told them many things would happen, including false prophets and false messiahs would arise to deceive people. And I pointed this out, that it was being fulfilled, pardon me, in our day. This false Christs, false messiahs, false prophets, it's happening in our day, even here in Bangor. Even in our town, which is so religious, there are false prophets and false messiahs. False prophets lead people away from God and the truth of God, while false messiahs are any Jesus being taught by the false prophets, which is not the Jesus as revealed in the Bible. So if someone is preaching or teaching about a Jesus who is not the Jesus as revealed in the Bible, they are a false prophet preaching a false Messiah. Any church or leader, any minister, preacher, or teacher that proclaims a different Jesus from the one revealed to us in the Bible is a false prophet proclaiming a false Christ. And if people are deceived into believing in a false Christ or a false gospel, they will reap a false salvation. And Keith spoke on the need for us all to switch off our filters as far as the return of Jesus is concerned, because the signs point to this event going to happen. And I believe going to happen sooner than we think. And if we filter out this truth, if we have our filters on and we filter out this truth and take no heed of the signs to prepare for the return of Jesus, then the return of Jesus will take us by surprise. And for those who are not prepared, they shall be lost. So let's read this evening from Matthew chapter 24, reading from verse 37. Matthew 24, reading from verse 37. Jesus speaks, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Wonder this evening, have you ever responded to a person who has asked you, "How's things?" Have you ever responded with one of the following? "I am fine. Same old, same old. Just getting on with it. There's nothing new. Same crap. Different day." All of these different sayings that people use. Have you ever responded when someone said, "How's things?" "I'm fine. Same old, same old. Just getting on with it. You know, there's nothing else for it." Or something of a similar ilk that suggests everything is just going on as normal and there's no change and nothing new. What have I told you? That these statements are like prophetic utterances declaring everything's continuing as it normally does. Life just goes on as normal. Have you ever thought about that? Does your life just go on as normal? Apart from false prophets and false Christs arising in the last days, prior to the return of Jesus, he also warned that his return will be preceded by a sense that everything is going on as normal in the world. "I'm fine. Same old, same old. Just getting on with it. There's nothing else for it. Just going on as normal. Is that your life tonight? Life just going on as normal. Is this world, think about this, is this world and all that's going on in it normal to you? Is it normal that there are wars and conflicts and killing and mayhem all over the world? Is it normal that there are earthquakes, famines, floods, and increasing storms? Is it normal people are being beheaded live on YouTube? Is it normal that planes fly into buildings and kill thousands of people? Is it normal when men and women detonate suicide bombs or others run into schools and workplaces shooting people? Is this normal to you? Is the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, of cancers, and increased drug and alcohol dependency, is it normal to you? 100 murders in London so far this year. Is that the normal that we are used to? Increased sectarianism, racial and religious hatred, anti-Semitism, are these normal? Muslims walking up and down our street as gangs raping children. Is this normal? Threatening the whole of our United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland that if we don't accept Sharia law and if we don't bow down to Allah and the false God that he is, then they're going to take over and kill us all. Is that normal to you? Is your life going on as normal? Is this normal when you have pensioners attacked in their own homes, when you have old soldiers who give so much of their lives in service to their country being beaten up and their medals taken from them and from their homes? Is this normal? Is it normal to leave people lying in a room dead while you go and spend all their benefits for years? Is it normal that we have paedophiles jogging on our streets past schools, eyeing up children, targeting them, even here in Bangor and in Newton Arns? Is this normal? Child rapists are released by the courts to commit more crimes. Acid attacks. When people are walking about their business and getting acid through in their faces, or people are driving by on scooters and throwing acid in people's faces. Is this normal? Knife attacks. Is it normal? Domestic violence. The need for more women's refuges. Is this normal to you tonight? Is your life normal? Is everything going on as normal? These terrible things, I suppose if we're honest, if we are truly honest, we would answer that these things are not normal. And yet, they seem to have become the norm. The terrible things that we see or hear daily via the TV, via the radio, social media, etc., have so desensitized us that they seem like they're, okay, I'm fine, same old, just getting on with it, sure, there's nothing else for it. Response that we're so used to giving. Suggesting everything's going on as normal. There is no change and nothing's new. Years ago, when you were going to murder someone, to make it easy, you would put a hood over their head so that you could shoot them dead. And the purpose of the hood going over their head was to dehumanize the situation. If there was a hood over their head, you couldn't see a person, so you put the hood over their head and you pulled the trigger and blew their head off. And you could go home with a clear conscience, because you'd only fired a bullet into a hood. What have I told you tonight? That Satan is at work in this world trying to put hoods over our heads to desensitize us to the truth that Jesus is coming back soon. And you will say, no, 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 he can't make that happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. It isn't happening to me. And yet, with all of these terrible things going on in the world today, you're still able to say, I'm fine, same old, same old, just getting on with it. Sure, there's nothing else for it. In the days of Noah, people just got on with life as normal. Certainly, there would have been similar events in Noah's day as in ours. Obviously, not planes flying into buildings, but all types of wickedness. It was so bad in Noah's day that God actually said he wished he hadn't made man at all. That's how bad the world had become. That God himself said he was pierced to the very heart and he wished that he hadn't made man at all, and so he was just going to destroy the whole world with a flood. And he saved Noah. And he saved Noah's three sons and Noah's wife and their three wives, altogether eight people God saved out of the population of the world. Yet Jesus, did you notice? You may have heard me reading it and missed it. Jesus, when speaking about his return, didn't focus on the evil in Noah's day. He didn't say, oh, they were beheading people. Just as they were in Noah's day, they were beheading people. Just as they were in Noah's day, there were sexually transmitted diseases. Just as there was in Noah's day, there were knife attacks. There were terrible things happening in the world. He doesn't say that. Jesus, speaking about his return, did not focus on the evil in Noah's day. Perhaps because Jesus knew people were desensitized to it and would be in the future. And instead, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus warns the flood caught the people of Noah's day unprepared. And Jesus is telling us, in Noah's day, the people were just getting on with it. Same old, sure, life's fine. Until suddenly the flood came and it was too late. And all perished except for Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives, and of course, the animals in the ark. And so here in Matthew 24, Jesus is telling us in 2018 that just before he returns, people will be, I'm fine. I'm just getting on with it. Sure, it's just the same old, same old. They will be eating. They will be drinking. They will be marrying and giving in marriage. Getting on with life as normal. When suddenly the Lord shall return and those who are not prepared will perish. People are so preoccupied with their own lives in the here and now that they make no provision for eternity and the hereafter. People have become desensitized, not just to the wickedness in the world that deserves the judgment of God, but also desensitized to the truth that one day soon Jesus will return and many are not prepared. Christian, let me ask you the question tonight. Are you prepared for the return of the man who never came back? Have you become desensitized to this fundamental Bible truth? We must be prepared for the return of Jesus so that it doesn't take us by surprise. Jesus has promised he's coming back for us one day. Make sure, Christian, that you are ready. If you're not yet a Christian, and you're tuning in, or you're here, or you're listening to our podcast, I need to say to you tonight that if you are not a Christian, you are not prepared for the return of Jesus. Life for you, no matter what is going on in your life, life for you is just going on as normal. I'm fine, just getting on with it, same old, same old. You are being duped by Satan and the world into being so preoccupied with this life, the here and now, that you are not making any provision for eternity. Unless, the Bible says, unless you confess your sin, unless you agree with God that you are a sinner, unless you repent, turn around from that sin, and put your trust in Jesus, you will not be ready when he returns. And his return will suddenly take you by surprise, and it will be too late for you. Too late, too late, was the cry of fate. Just like the people in Noah's day, you may be desensitized to the truth that Jesus is coming back for his people and to bring final eternal judgment on those who have rejected God's salvation. I urge you again tonight, in the name of Jesus, repent before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, we don't come up here to scaremonger. We don't, Lord God, sit at home preparing sermons, Lord God, that would might frighten ourselves or frighten other people. It's not to wind people up. It's not to make people agitated. We, Lord God, look at your word and ask for the leading of your Spirit to help us to preach the message, Lord God, that we believe you put on our hearts. And your word tonight is that we need to be ready. Because just as the people in Noah's day were unprepared and perished, so, Lord, if people are not prepared for the return of Jesus, the Christian, Lord God, will be taken by surprise. They will not perish because their hope and trust is in Jesus. But Lord, nonetheless, they need to be ready. They need to have that sense of his imminent return in their hearts. But for those who don't know Jesus, for those who have not become Christians, if the return of Jesus happens tonight, it'll be too late and they will perish forever. Lord, that's the truth of your word. It's not scaremongering. It's not trying to frighten people, Lord God. It's telling the truth of your word. Many, Lord, saw Noah build the ark and must have laughed at him and scorned him until the floods came. But it was too late. The door of hope was closed. People tonight listening here, listening in, let me tell you tonight, as I pray to the Father for mercy for you, that when the door of hope closes, there will be none who can open it for you. Father, please let this weigh heavy upon people's hearts and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, that they might not perish. We ask this in his name. Amen.